From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 27th day of January 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity futures markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Gary Schnitke, ag economist from the U of I, will be here to take a first look at crop insurance decisions that will have to be made by the 15th of March. February, of course, is the crop insurance price-setting month. It is a very high price at this point. Volatility is very high, and as you'll hear, premiums for crop insurance will be very high as well. Gary Schnitke will take us through all the changes in the pricing structure and in the available crop insurance products. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
On this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this in Chicago. Nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat, the March, at 846 and a quarter, down 10 and a quarter. May at $8.75, 9 and a quarter lower, and July wheat at $8.94 and a half, down 6 and 3 quarters. The hard red March 7 and a half lower, at $9.32 and a half. March corn today 6.50 and 3 quarters, down 7. The May at 6.61, 7 lower. July at $6.66, down 6 and 3 quarters. And December futures at 5.82 and 3 quarters in the corn pit, down 8 cents. For the new crop, March soybean futures gained today, up 14 cents, $13.99 and a half. May at 14.10, up 13 and a half. And July 14.15 and 3 quarters, up 12 and 3 quarters. August soybeans, $13.91 and a quarter, up 10 and a quarter. The November futures at $13.25 and a half. Up 1 and 3 quarters. Bean meal finished the March at $3.77.40, up $3. March bean oil at $57.41, 71 cents higher. CME Group live cattle futures February contract at $106.95, 27 and a half cents lower. The April futures at $112.17 and a half, 100 pounds down a dime. And the January feeder cattle at $126.15 were 20 lower. March futures 52 and a half lower at $125.60. Lean hogs finished the February contract at $83.95, 100 pounds, a gain there of 92 and a half cents. The April futures were down a dime. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading the nearby March contract at $85.62 a barrel, off $1.71. Ethanol at $2.30 and 7 tenths of a cent, down 2 1/10 of a cent. Natural gas at $4.31 and 6 tenths, 17 1/2 cents lower. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.65 and 7 tenths, down 1 1/2 cents. And the gold futures at $1,318.40 an ounce. Finished $14.60 lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up just about 7 points at 11,993, and the U.S. dollar now at 77.7 is down 0.16. The CRB index on the afternoon at 331.39 is down 1.4 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the immediate area in Urbana-Champaign. Hazardous weather outlook for this afternoon for Champaign, DeWitt, Knox, Marshall, McLean, Peoria, Piatt, Stark, Tazewell, Vermilion, and Woodford counties. The hazardous weather outlook is for portions of central and east central Illinois, mainly along and north of the I-74 corridor. A mixture of freezing rain, snow is possible early this afternoon. That'll transition to all snow by late afternoon. Some light icing is possible untreated roadways. However, any snowfall accumulation expected to be fairly minor today. And then the weather forecast for tomorrow says a chance of flurries. Afternoon, cloudy, a high of 33 degrees. Northwest winds at 6 to 9 miles an hour. Tomorrow night, a chance of flurries, mostly cloudy, a low of 25. And south-southwest winds at 10 to 13. Saturday, partly sunny, a high of 35 degrees. And Saturday night, mostly cloudy, a low around 20 degrees. Sunday to be partly sunny, a high near 30, and Sunday night mostly cloudy, a low of 18. More on the ag weather when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, is on the phone line with us today. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Doing fine, Todd.
Well, next Tuesday, you and I will make our way to Lincoln, Illinois, along with Jackie Bakes and Gary Schnitke, who will talk about crop insurance for an Outlook meeting. And I suppose the folks there will be pretty interested in what you have to say, given the price of grains and oilseeds at this time. We've been tapping around those 2.5-year highs. Do you think there's more left in the market?
Well, it's tricky. I mean, anytime you get up to these levels, new buyers become fewer to find because everybody's scared to buy it up at these levels because they do feel that, you know, something could come along in overnight, and who knows how we'll open up the next morning. So, especially when we've kind of gone here basically since the January crop report without any new fresh news. I mean, we did have a little dry weather worry in South America, which kind of sparked it up a little bit here a week ago. But now that seems to have subsided a little bit, and we just don't have a lot of fresh news here. The next big report, of course, is going to be March 31st, and it's kind of hard to maintain bullish enthusiasm for a 2-month window in here, and this is kind of where we're at, I think, Todd.
When do you think it'll be short supplies that'll push the market along? I mean, will the commercials be hunting up corn and soybeans here in the United States?
Well, I think when it comes to soybeans, for the most part, supplies are adequate. They're going to be tight, but they're adequate, at least when you take a look at South America. And, you know, within the next 60-day window, South America is going to be pretty well the dominant force in the export market. Now, we had a good weekly export sales this past week, but we all know eventually that's going to subside. I mean, we're going to start selling, 15 million bushels and 10 million bushels and whatnot. We only need to sell about 9 per week to meet USDA's number. So, when you get a 15 number or an 18 number, when you're kind of been used to 30, 40s, and 50s, it's doesn't put a lot of spark under the market. But fundamentally, I think what the bean market will begin to look at is worry about new crop prospects and worry about the acreage mix. But corn should take a bigger role in that based upon the balance sheet.
And take a bigger role, but does that mean that we need to move higher or just stay steady where we are?
Well, we could probably hold these levels and not have to go a lot higher if everything goes perfect, and that's the big question. I think when you look at the USDA balance sheet, ending stocks of corn somewhere around 700 million bushels, we could get by with that if we have another early planting, which teases up for another early harvest. So I think that April weather pattern is going to be real critical. If we come in here and everything looks real good, the corn planters go to the field, then that will relax the market somewhat. But if come April 1, if we're dry in the west and wet in the east or vice versa, and it looks like corn planting is not going to get off to a good start, you could begin to really worry the market. And how long that drags out would depend whether or not the market spikes up. Because when you look back at 08, I mean, the market was ready to roll down. We had a May high. We were starting to soften up. And all of a sudden, those big heavy rains came in the western Corn Belt and the eastern Corn Belt, and crop prospects just turned south, and the market had to spike at that point. It just shot up then for the next 3 weeks, almost straight up in the air, until it just ran out of gas. Now, something like that could happen. I mean, when you're only looking at 700 million bushel corn ending stocks, something like that could come along at any time between now and July 1 and just really spook the market. But if nothing like that occurs, you could probably get by at these levels. But we're going to see a snapshot of disappearance on that March 30th report. That March 30th report is going to be a real pivot point because it'll give you at least a snapshot of what farmers are thinking as of March 1 as far as intentions go, and then it'll firm up actually our disappearance levels, and the market will decide at that point whether or not it needs to go higher or not.
Can I take you a month earlier than May and go back to April and late March? Because that would have been the time frame. May, we started to move higher, but in that April, late March time frame, we were very low, and people were very, very bearish. I know that you know we're our carryout is half what we were looking at last year. If we start out very well for this growing season for the corn crop and we get in early, how much of a drop do you think there might be in the marketplace, and would you get very scared about that drop?
Well, those are the big questions. And as a rule, when a market declines, it always declines further than what you think, just as when it turns up, it always rallies higher than what everybody thinks.
Mm-hmm.
But my guess is that you know, I don't think it would be a permanent decline. Let's put it that way. I think once you get into a liquidation phase, it could probably go down. But you could probably send this thing, new crop corn could go back into the $4 range probably fairly quickly. I think $4 would find pretty good support. But I think unless you have just a barn burner of a crop coming at you, the market would snap back right away if you got into it. I just don't think it would be a permanent decline. I think in order to get a permanent decline in these prices, the way I understand the fundamental picture, and you know that's constantly changing, is that we need to have a lot more inventory around. We just don't have any comfort zone. And usually that takes a couple years of good crops to put us into a comfort zone on the supply. So I'm kind of in the opinion that while there's going to be volatility in this market, I think these prices are going to be around for a couple years. I just don't see any big fall off. But I also understand that we're going to have a lot of economic turbulence. I mean, you just see what's happening in Washington with their federal deficit spending and their state government spending. So there's going to be some economic turbulence, higher interest rates, market volatility, and you just don't know how that's going to impact ag commodities. For the most part, all of this stuff is bullish real assets because it's basically going to force central bankers throughout the world to print more money. But there could be a lot of turbulence in between, and if you're caught wrong, you're caught wrong. You know.
Thank you so very much, and we'll see you next Tuesday in Lincoln.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Dave Dickey's here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, key House Republicans say the U.S. futures regulator is sacrificing quality for speed as it races to write dozens of regulations to implement its share of financial reforms. In a pointed letter, Frank Lucas and Michael Conway urged the Commodity Futures Trading Commission to slow down, reorganize its rulemaking process, and make sure it knows how much it will cost businesses to comply with its regulations. Lucas is chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, and Conway is head of a key subcommittee. AgroConsult today says that Brazil's 2010-11 soybean crop is forecast at a record 70.3 million tons, up from 68.4 million tons forecast in December. The forecast comes ahead of AgroConsult's annual crop tour that will start on January 31st and run through March 27th. China's Ministry of Agriculture today says a drought affecting Chinese wheat-growing areas may not damage the crop because most areas have had enough rain and more is forecast next month. China could still see a bumper harvest of winter wheat, which makes up 90% of its total wheat crop, if there is enough rain or irrigation from late February. But about 20% of the wheat area still has no access to irrigation or were not watered before winter, which could reduce the harvest if the drought runs beyond late February or March. And the chairman of Nestle, the world's biggest food group, says that governments should stop promoting biofuels rather than considering curbs on speculation if they want to fight food inflation. Patrick Brabeck says, quote, "There is one very simple solution, no food for fuel." And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. Gary Schnitke, Farm Management Specialist at the U of I, joins us now to take up crop insurance, the changes in the products from 2010 to 2011, and the differences in the pricing. Gary, thanks so much for being with us. Let's go through the product changes first.
This year, our old farm-level products will no longer exist. CRC, RA, and APH have been replaced by the combo product, and CRC and RA will be revenue protection, RP, this year. So the new product will be RP, and that replaces CRC and RA, and YP, white yield protection, replaces APH. Product.
Is there much confusion about that with producers, or do you think there will be once they start to talk with their with the insurance agents?
You know, I don't think there'll be much confusion. Actually, if you look at it, it makes a lot of sense, the new combo product. It'll just take a little bit of time to get used to the new names of the new products. So, yeah, there'll be some confusion, but I think in a year we'll like the new convention. So,
why does it make sense?
Well, we got rid of two products that were virtually the same, CRC and RA. Did pretty much the same thing, and we replaced that with revenue protection. There's also a number of other things that were included that simplified the products overall. So it'll be simpler with the new combo product than with the old products.
So the change in the products is probably will be the least shocking thing that producers will find out when they visit their crop insurance agent.
That's correct. I mean, the products, what they're gonna really focus on is the increase in premiums from this year compared to last year, and that's due to what we're estimating now to be higher prices and higher volatilities. So just to give you a feel for that, this year we estimated premiums using a 570 base price, which is last year it was $3.99 for corn. So we're $1.70, $1.80 higher from last year, and that will raise premiums. And also the volatilities likely are going to be higher this year than last year.
And it results in a 70% projected increase. Of course, we won't know that until the end of February, but it's a big jump in premium price.
And what we did was we calculated revenue protection policies this year using a 570 projected price and a 0.33 volatility. Compared that to CRC premium last year, and yeah, it will be on average 70% higher than last year. So that will cause some sticker shock, but again, you're insuring more revenue this year than last year because of the higher base prices.
When you look across the state, who gets the biggest change?
Enterprise unit on an RP policy, Southern Illinois for an 80% protection level will be paying in the high 20s dollar range. Central Illinois will be teens, or, you know, $13 to $20 range. And Western Illinois will be $20 to $25 range for an 80% RP policy at an enterprise unit level.
And then there are some changes in the counties. the biggest changes. Some of them are not very big, and some of them are pretty large. But when you looked at it, they were all centered in the middle of the state, right?
Yeah. Some of the smallest increases in premiums were in central Illinois. And that, for example, Moultrie County had a 36% increase. Douglas County had a 38% increase. McLean County had a 42% increase. That was also the location of some of the biggest increases. And Logan County, for example, had a 110% increase. Christian County had a 108% increase.
So talk about the coverage level, the harvest price exclusions, the unit choice impacts on premiums and things.
All right. The RP is like CRC. It will have a harvest price increase in it, or the guarantee will increase if the harvest price is above the base price. On the other hand, there's also RP with the harvest price exclusion, and in that case, the harvest price won't increase. That has, in McLean County, about a $4 or $5 lower premium at an 80% level. And just to give you a feel, McLean County RP has a $1,278 premium. RP with exclusion will have an $825. So the revenue, the exclusion will cause $5 more or less decrease in premiums. The big difference will be in enterprise, basic, and optional units. And enterprise units will be much lower cost than basic and optional units. So an enterprise unit in McLean County will be $1,278. A basic unit will be $3,493. So there's going to be a large incentive to take enterprise units in a place like McLean County. And optional units will be $3,567, given our estimated price and volatility. So enterprise units will be, in McLean County, 70% of the cost of basic and optional units.
If you took a look across the state and had to summarize whether producers should or should not use crop insurance based on the new combo policies and the volatilities, the higher price for grains and oil seeds, what would your assumptions be?
I would assume that most farmers are going to take crop insurance this year, and it's going to be hard not to look at the enterprise unit RP policies, particularly in places like McLean County where in central Illinois where, you know, the RP policy is 30% of the basic unit policy. That will vary across the state. Some counties, the enterprise unit will only be 50% less than the basic unit. So Central Illinois, it's going to be hard not to use the enterprise unit. It'll be less so as you move out from central Illinois.
That's Gary Schnitke, Farm Management Specialist at the University of Illinois. He and colleague Bruce Sherrick will follow the crop insurance setting month of February and update the FarmDoc website with the latest information. You can find it all at farmdoc.illinois.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Just a reminder, if you'd like to hear more from Gary Schnitke, you can do that next Tuesday in Lincoln on the Logan County Fairgrounds in the Extension Building there at 7 o'clock. I'll be there, Dan Zwicker and Gary Schnitke, along with Jackie Bakes at 7 Tuesday of next week in Logan County, Lincoln, Illinois. Back in 2 minutes.
It's National Chocolate Cake Day. The domestication of coca beans dates back to at least 1500 BC, and by 300 BC, Maya elitists were drinking an unsweetened coca drink made from the ground beans. On this day in agricultural history in 1861, Ralph Majewski was born, a Polish-born American bridge builder and designer. His first major commission was the design and construction of a 7-span bridge with railway and highway over the Mississippi River at Rock Island, Illinois. In 1922, Nellie Bly died. In 1889, Bly successfully completed an attempt to beat the record of Jules Verne's fictional Phileas Fogg to go around the world in 80 days. Bly was a U.S. newspaper reporter and completed the journey in 72 days, 6 hours, 11 minutes, and 14 seconds. And in 1950, Science Magazine announced the new antibiotic tiramycin. Made by Charles Pfizer and Company, it was isolated from Indiana soil and found to be effective against pneumonia, dysentery, and other infections. It was the result of the company's intensive quest to find new organisms to fight disease. Acting on theories that bacteria-fighting organisms would be found in soil, Pfizer solicited soil samples worldwide, received 135,000 soil samples, and conducted more than 20 million tests. Researchers literally got soil samples from the bottom of mine shafts, from the bottom of the ocean, from the desert, mountains, and everywhere in between. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us to take a look at the weather forecast. Hi, Pete. How are you today?
I'm good, Todd.
And it looks like we've got a little weather out there that's kind of slippery and slidey. And, oh, I guess we should be watching out in some of our northern counties here in the state of Illinois.
Yeah, mostly from I-80 up north is one of these what we call clipper systems coming along, one of these weak low-pressure systems that come out of south-central Canada and rapidly move eastward across the belt. Not much moisture to feed them, so they are going to produce some showers, but they'll be light. It'll be mostly snow. It's snowing up in Chicago and westward from there, and even down to your country, there's some spitting snow occurring, and that'll go off and on until this evening a cold front comes by, and I think it'll end after that. We'll get another one of these systems tomorrow night, the second in a rapid series of these. This one, when it goes by and produces a little light snow tomorrow, mostly again in the northern quarter of the state, not much will get very far south. But behind that will be some colder air, and then we'll return to the cold temperatures that we had a little earlier this month as we finish off the month with temperatures below normal, running about 10 to 15 degrees below normal, as a matter of fact, toward the end of the month, and then even a little colder than that, probably the coldest day around Tuesday of next week, where the temperatures will get down approaching zero or a few degrees below. And they'll stay cold right through the first week of February. So the good news is there's not much weather with that cold air. It'll be mostly fair to partly cloudy. We're not looking for much in the way of precipitation.
Turn your attention to South America. Tell me about the croplands there.
Okay. Down in South America, we did get the rain in Argentina that they so desperately needed in southern portions of their crop regions in Buenos Aires province and Santa Fe to the north. And that came in time, I guess, to arrest any further deterioration of crops down there. A little farther north in the Argentine, though, up in Cordoba, there's still an area of dryness, and the crop has been dry since December, and they're in their silking process down there now on the corn crop. And so I think we can look for some losses there unless they get bailed out very soon. And the bad news is I don't see much help coming this week for them. In Brazil, the rains have let up finally across Rio and Sao Paulo states and the southern Minas, and they've had an abundance of moisture up there. They don't need any more. The southern areas of Brazil, down through Paraná to Rio Grande do Sul, they've had just maybe 1 to 2 inches of rain this past week and seasonable temperatures, and everything in that portion of Brazil, I think, should be in pretty fair shape.
Thanks so much, Pete.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.